Hi, you're listening to Living Life on Purpose, and I'm your host, Matt Wilson. The goal of this show is for us to sit down with successful people who also live a life of purpose. We want you to hear their stories, understand that they've had to overcome adversity, how their faith has played a role, and ultimately we want you to be encouraged by the things that you hear so that you can walk through similar situations. We hope you enjoy.
Today on the show, we have Jennifer Jackson. Jennifer is an entrepreneur. She is a minister, and she's also just a radical follower of Jesus. So Jennifer, it is an honor to have you here today.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt. Great to be with you.
Yes, I have really enjoyed getting to know you. We met last year at the Heaven and Business Workshop in Birmingham, and then got to see each other again this year at the Heaven and Business Workshop, and then got to spend a lot more time at the Heaven and Business Conference in Atlanta, where you played a gracious host to so many of us. And I love the passion that you have for ministry in the marketplace and just seeing you operate in that very strong prophetic gifting. And I appreciate who you are.
Thank you so much. I feel the same about you. You know, it's such an amazing time to be in the kingdom. Not just a Christian, but actually in the kingdom with like-minded people like you, that we really just want to see the kingdom advanced in every sphere of life, and especially business, since that's our lane, right? That's my call, it's yours. And when you meet people that have that same call, that same passion, man, it's like electricity, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. And, you know, that conference in Atlanta, as good as the Birmingham workshops were, the conference in Atlanta was even better, probably because there were even more hungry people in the same room and just the atmosphere. It really is. It's electric. And when you get a bunch of people that are hungry for the same thing, and they want to see God move, they know what he's capable of, they've seen miracles, they've seen signs and wonders, and they just expect it, you see more of those things take place. So it really is exciting. And I know that God is it's a season of birthing. It's a season of stretching. It's a season of growing. And so a lot of that is shifting things around and stretching people in order to get us there. But it's all going to be really, really good, the things that he's doing.
No, for sure. And, you know, I have to tell you, and I've shared this with you privately, and now I want to say it publicly, what you put together in Birmingham with Andy Mason, the way you prepared the place, the atmosphere, I just saw such an upgrade. I saw something I haven't seen maybe before in a gathering of business people. Like you said, it was the expectation of healing. We had people healed of physical infirmities, as you know. We had people healed of emotional infirmities. And then we had destiny really released through prophetic words and through the linking. I saw connections happen in Birmingham that to this day are still birthing. Like you said, it's a season of birthing, but there were connections made in that Birmingham workshop that are birthing a huge business and, you know, ministry, kingdom, God move, whatever label you want to put on it. I don't even feel like those are the accurate words. So I thank you for that, because it takes, you know, everything flows down from leadership. So it took you and Andy really preparing the place, making space, and then trusting God that he would show up. And boy, did he in Birmingham. So I say to anyone, if you missed it, you'll have another chance, right, Matt? Because you're going to do one next year as well.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you so much. You know, we do want to create an environment where we want to get out of the way, and we want God to do what only he can do through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I'm thankful that that took place. And, you know, so we're obviously already just jumping right in, and we're really excited about what God's doing. But, you know, the cool thing about this is both of us have not always been this way. So you had a before Christ life, and then you've got an after Christ life. And then, as you were just saying before we even got started, you've got a, you know, kind of a segmented version. And then, you know, now a combined version where, like, all aspects of your life are kingdom focused. So just kind of walk us through, you know, what did that look like before? What does that look like now? What caused the shift?
Wow, that's a big and critical question for anybody doing business who loves God in this era. But for me, you know, I did not come to the Lord fully until I was 30. I was a very carnal Christian. I was not raised in a Christian home. I was raised by atheists. You know, I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama, with a lot of, you know, my father was a rocket scientist, literally, and my mother also was in the missile defense industry. And so a lot of people I grew up with, you know, didn't feel like they needed God because they had PhDs and plenty of money. So I had to come to the Lord after making a series of bad choices and mistakes and really coming to the end of myself. I was very successful in business, started my own company when I was 23, sold it when I was 30. But that is really what brought me to the end of myself and made me realize there's something so much bigger afoot, and that I needed more help. I had had glimpses of the Lord, you know, as he would show up for me. I started my first company when I was 23, as I mentioned, and there were times, you know, I would stay up all night wondering, how am I going to pay my three lease payments for my three business locations the next day when I had $0 in my account? And the Lord would help me every time. But of course, it took me a while to get to that point where I realized, oh, I'm not that good. God has been walking alongside of me and wooing me. He was literally wooing me, especially through business. I just didn't have eyes to see it until I did, which is probably like a lot of our stories, right? So I came to the Lord at 30, but then from that day forward, like a lot of us, it was a journey. It took me some time to understand the things of the kingdom. Since I wasn't raised in a religious home, it was easier for me to not, you know, have religious boundaries. But it took me a while to sync up with the right people who could show me the ways of the King, King Jesus, and the kingdom. So I was, like you mentioned, kind of running on parallel tracks. I was different tracks. I was a Christian and I was in business, and a lot of my employees at the time, after I sold my company, I took a role with a Fortune 200 company, and just God just gave me so much favor. I mean, I climbed from, you know, being a field rep and learning the business to being number two in the company, and having, you know, hundreds of people reporting to me, and people knew I was a believer by the way I carried myself, and they would apologize to me when they cursed around me, but you know, that's not enough. You know, that was sort of, for a while, that was good enough. People knew who I was. They, you know, would try to behave themselves around me, and they would come to me and shut my office door when they really needed counsel. But in the kingdom, there's so much more than even that. So it took me until about age 42 to realize that, oh, this thing is fully integrated in my life. Because before that time, I would say, if I wasn't married. I married a little later. By the time I was 40, I would go to Africa and be a missionary because I've been working in Africa at the same time during this time. So, you know, I laugh, and I think God laughed at me back then that, oh yeah, you're just going to quit your job and be a missionary. You know, business is my mission. I am a missionary because businesses are the new churches, and entrepreneurs and business leaders are the new missionaries. So, you know, I finally started walking in that. And I would even say I'm walking in that in an even fuller way as of the last 12 months. I think you might even testify, it's just the revelation and the maturity and the understanding is really still unfolding real time.
Well, it's powerful, first of all, you know, because you've got two people on here that, while we had different upbringings and, you know, I was raised in church and ran away from it when I was 18, and you were not raised in church, but, you know, ended up getting saved at 30. You know, I was 37 when I fully surrendered to the Lord. So, you know, it's been a short time for me, but both of us, it was after experiencing material success. It was after experiencing the things that the world told you were going to be fulfilling, and then realizing this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Still wondering, like, what is missing in my life? I've achieved the things that you know, I was told that if I achieved these things, then it would just be, everything would be perfect. And the reality is, it's not perfect and it's not fulfilling, because we've all got a hole inside of our heart that only Jesus can fill. And so from that standpoint, you end up having this situation where You experience the success, you start to walk with the Lord, and then as you're walking it out, people start to recognize, oh, I shouldn't say the things that that I used to say. That's always funny to me when, you know, somebody apologizes for, you know, cussing in front of me. It's like, hey, don't apologize to me. You know, tell the Lord, you know, I'm just a person. But it is, as you've started to shift in that role and people have started to recognize what you carry, you know, when did you start to realize that the marketplace is a ministry opportunity? The marketplace is a mission field, and I need to engage in this space just as much, if not more so, than when I go to Africa to minister over there.
You know, if I'm honest with myself and us, all of us listening, I would say only in the last, I said earlier, I think I misstated, I'm really evaluating, in the last 5 years, and again, the last 12 months, I feel like I have a revelation, more an understanding that's even deeper about how intentional I should carry out my day, how I should pray for my company every day, not just Lord bless us, but really intercede for the people, really speak to the atmosphere of our buildings, our offices, what's happening, bless our clients, you know, that understanding that covering and how the kingdom really does permeate is a newer revelation. Before I was thinking, oh, one day I can quit or retire and do what I really want to do, which is ministry. And boy, did life become even more fun and work become more interesting when I let go of that false belief that one day I'll get to do what I really want to do. And that's just not true. And so I think, you know, if you're an electrician or you're, you know, working in an office and you think this isn't fulfilling, is this my purpose? You know, your purpose is to release the kingdom everywhere you go. And if that one person in your office, as we know, needs your wisdom and your counsel and needs you to be the thermostat when you walk in your building as opposed to just regulate the temperature. So I think that we can find that purpose in such profound ways now if we really understand the ways of the kingdom. And you know, I'd love to talk about that as much as you want to, because that is a subject that I've really taken as my assignment, which is to help people understand how the kingdom can differ from Christianity or religion, and how the kingdom can affect and transform where a lot of times Christianity falls short. So yes, that has really opened up a whole new world to me. And I think you and I have talked about this a lot personally, and we're seeing it at your Heaven and Business workshop. When the kingdom comes, people get healed of physical issues. They get deliverance from demonic oppression. They get connections that propel them into a dream they've had in their heart that is they knew was God. And all of a sudden it's launched. You know, that's what the kingdom does. And so that makes whatever you do in business or an office or out in the marketplace even exponentially exciting.
Yes, I agree 100%. And, you know, with my business, when people come in and they want to talk about their money, there's a trust factor that they're willing to talk to you about anything. If they trust you enough to talk to you about their finances, they're willing to talk to you about anything. And so with that, you know, even this morning, there've been multiple situations where we've had business meetings and I've been able to bring Jesus into that situation, and we've been able to pray into situations, and, you know, both of them fairly heavy situations. You know, one's trying to figure out, you know, a job, like, am I where I'm supposed to be? And she's like, I have not heard the Lord say move yet. I said, well, let's pray now and let's just ask Holy Spirit and, you know, let's see what he says. And, you know, so coming alongside people and helping them realize, hey, this is possible. Let's ask him now and let's do it together. Let's intercede on your behalf, because when he shows up, you know, it's powerful and things change. And then to that point as well, I saw a client who's actually the son and the nephew of some other clients at the gym a couple of weeks ago, and he had a boot on his foot. And, you know, I just walked up to him. I said, hey, what did you do to your foot? He said, I've got a stress fracture. And I was like, oh man, I hate to hear that. I said, I believe Jesus heals. Can I pray for your foot? He's like, sure. You know, he was not all excited about it or believed in any way, shape or form that that was possible. But I prayed, I put my hands on the boot, and this is in the middle of the gym floor. And I prayed for him. He didn't respond. He did not say, oh, it feels great. We walked away. I was actually like, man, I wish he was more excited because I was fired up. And he came up to me yesterday at the gym and he said, hey, I just wanted to thank you for your prayers a couple of weeks ago because he's not in the boot. And he was like, my foot feels great. You know, it's 3 weeks sooner than the doctor said it was going to be in our teams in the playoffs. And so it feels great. I'm able to play. Like, thank you so much. I was like, man, Jesus heals. That's awesome. You know, so those are all business, you know, relationships where when Jesus comes in and changes something that only he can change, you know, it's a difference between seeing somebody and, you know, just having sympathy for them versus seeing somebody and having compassion. If we don't share what Jesus is capable of, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit with the people that God's placing in front of us that we are to love, then we're really doing them a disservice. So I agree with you. I want to see the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, because that's what Jesus asked us to do. So in that regard, you know, when you're bringing kingdom in these situations, what do you start to see that's different in those meetings and in those conversations?
Well, and first of all, I just have to go back to what you said and what you did. Releasing the kingdom then, right then and there, is huge. Like you said to that lady, I think you said, lady, let's pray right now. That is tremendous. Let me pray for your foot right now and leave the outcome to Jesus. So I think having the courage to release and express the kingdom like you did is exactly what we need to be doing. So sorry, what was your question? I was so hung up on you praying right now and that happening.
Yeah, well, I'm just a big proponent of, you know, there's so many people that say, I will pray for you, and they forget. I mean, honestly, they forget. It's, I don't think that it's bad intentions, but, you know, it's just in reality, people are busy and I'm going to put it on my prayer list. Maybe it ends up on a list. Maybe it doesn't. More than likely, people forget. So praying right away, it's something that I'm very adamant about because I know what I've done on my own, that just honestly forgetting I meant to pray for that situation. So now it's, hey, right now, let's pray. So the question was, what have you seen different in those situations where, you know, you've brought in Holy Spirit and asked him what he's capable of versus just trying to solve things on your own?
Well, first of all, I think it's completely astounding to people when you actually do release the kingdom, when you do bring Holy Spirit in, like you said. I could give countless testimonies. When I was working for the Fortune 200 company and I had 29 locations and hundreds of people, I had some really dicey situations. You know, anytime there are people involved, that many people running offices across the, you know, eastern half of the United States, you're going to have scenarios that you're just not equipped to deal with. So I would pray, I would ask my intercessors, you know, my apostolic covering, and if people don't have apostolic covering, you need one because it makes all the difference. People that know how to pray governmentally and understand their kingdom authority. I had countless scenarios where our backs were up against the wall, very public, very ugly situation with one of my sales managers who was threatening to sue us and was going to the papers. And we prayed and I asked the Holy Spirit for wisdom, and that entire situation turned around. So there were countless opportunities where the president of the company would say to me, how did you get that done? How did you work that out? And I was able to testify, you know, God gives strategy. I would pray, I would get wisdom, and I could testify, and he would just shake his head. So whether or not people believe, when the kingdom advances, there either will be conflict or there will be repentance. But either way, it's okay. So I love what you said, and I think it takes so much courage to say, I'm going to pray for your foot now in the middle of the gym where people see us, or I'm going to ask God to show you which job you should take, and just leave it to God to show up, because it's his name that's on the line. It's his reputation, the name of Jesus Christ that is at stake, and he never fails. So that is just, that's a key you shared, is having the confidence to say, whether someone reacts or says, oh, that's great, or oh, I'm immediately healed, you know the kingdom is doing its full work, and that Jesus will get his full reward if we're just obedient. So I could go on and on about testimonies that as I've brought in the Holy Spirit or asked for apostolic cover in a scenario, fasted for certain scenarios at work or in business, and have had tremendous result that no human could orchestrate. And there's just nothing like doing business with God.
Amen. I absolutely agree. And so let me ask you this. You've been walking in this marketplace ministry now for, you know, intensely for 5 years. Are all scenarios perfect where people, because you're walking with the Lord, do all scenarios now all of a sudden just get easy? Or do you still have issues that you have to deal with in relationships, or you know, business partners, or, you know, coworkers, where it's all just smooth sailing?
Yeah, I think that's a rhetorical question, right? Because times are only getting stranger, and the scenarios that we are up against are only getting, you know, more difficult, I think, because, you know, think about it. We've got challenges in businesses now that we didn't even have 4 years ago. Health challenges, you know, legislative challenges. So it's just really fascinating how the world systems are starting to really kick against the kingdom. You know, the scripture in Isaiah 2 tells us that the mountain of the Lord is higher than all the other hills, which are the world systems, but it doesn't mean they don't try to advance against God. So no, I think things have even gotten a little more difficult. So the wisdom and counsel of heaven is needed more than ever. But it's so worth it to advance the kingdom, even though when you read in John 3 or you read all throughout Acts, whenever the kingdom was advancing, there was usually conflict. So I would say I've probably experienced more conflict in the last 12 months as my revelation has increased. And maybe that's by design, right? Because God allows certain things, challenges in our lives to help mature and grow us. But no, I think it's even gotten more difficult. And with the economic situation, you know, I think about you dealing with people who, some people, their money is their God and their idol and their security. So you, of all people, Matt, you have to exercise the wisdom and counsel of heaven. And I see you do it all the time. So no, I think we need to brace ourselves for more conflict, but we also have more wisdom, more peace, more answers as we engage the Holy Spirit in every single decision, every single hour of our day. You know, I need him almost minute by minute these days, it seems.
Yes, I absolutely agree. And the world has distorted the words of Jesus, and the world has distorted what love even means. And at the end of the day, you know, love does not always mean acceptance. You know, love with truth does not always mean that you're going to agree with the person that you're loving. You can love somebody and disagree. And with that, you know, Jesus made it very clear, you're either with me or you're against me. You're either for me or you're against me. And there are very clear lines that are being drawn in our society that are either lining up with the word of God, or they're, you know, just diametrically opposed to what he's trying to accomplish. And so I think that, yes, things are getting even more divisive from the standpoint of, you know, the things that Jesus stands for. You know, if we're following his word, it's very clear. And, you know, I think that there's a separation. You know, you're either going to follow his ways, or you're going to try to navigate whatever society tells you is right or wrong any given moment, any given day. It's changing constantly. And I think that it's forcing a separation. People are having to choose, all right, I'm either going to be who God's called me to be no matter what, no matter the situation, or I'm going to be blowing in the wind, you know, tossed like a boat in the ocean without a sail and tossed to and fro. And that's miserable. You get seasick doing that. So People should be prepared if they are embracing who God has called them to be, if they are walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and doing what he's asking them to do. Not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to be for it. Not everybody's going to understand it, but it's still the better way to go. If it lines up with this scripture and you know that it's something that God's calling you to do, it is extremely important that people heed what he's saying to do and then they obey.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, as you were talking, the thing that's been resonating with me and even my local church community, you know, we're called Courageous Community Church. And our whole mission is to raise up a brave new breed of believer, because it takes courage and it takes understanding of the word and that resolute conviction that in Christ alone I stand. But you have to know why you're standing and what you're standing for. So people need to know the word of God more than ever, because it's life, it's truth. It's in the word, as we know, lies all the solutions, all the coaching and counseling and roadmaps and playbooks that you'd ever need. But we really need courage. And I can think about some scenarios, especially during the pandemic. You know, my husband and myself were both challenged in our workplaces. Were we going to do the vaccine or not? And why? And, you know, I remember we both had to take a stand based on our own health, managing our own health of what we were going to do or not going to do. And it took a lot of courage and conviction that if we have to quit, we'll quit. And God saw us through that. So I can point to that scenario most recently of really taking a stand, speaking what was, you know, truth and love, and then just not worrying about what people thought or not. And I think that's where opinions and divisiveness are trying to rule and reign. Having the confidence as a son of God that who you are, why you're here, what your purpose is, and what his word is, man, that gives us so much security and just safety.
Yes.
Stay tuned. We'll have more Living Life on Purpose after we hear from one of our sponsors.
Are you a business person that's hungry for more of the Holy Spirit at work? Partnering with God is what you were designed for. Experiencing God at work and being a blessing to the city that you live in is accessible to every believer. Hearing from God for your business and city shouldn't feel mysterious or inaccessible. Heaven and Business exists to give you access to the tools and training you need to equip you to grow with God in business and influence. Begin with their free trial and an online membership, then explore the events, community, and other resources. Check out heavenandbusiness.com today if this is what you're looking for, and I promise you won't be disappointed.
And now, back to Living Life on Purpose with your host, Matt Wilson.
I think that one of the most discouraging things that took place in 2020 and beyond, you know, those first couple years where people were trying to navigate their safety. You know, comfortable Christianity is not in the Bible. And there was no point that the followers of Jesus, the disciples of Christ, were ever guaranteed, follow me and, you know, I'm going to make sure that you're protected. I just told people, look, if you feel like this is what the Lord is leading you to do, and you're supposed to take the shot, take the shot. If you feel like, you know, you're supposed to do whatever you've got to do in order to protect yourself, stay wherever you need to stay, do whatever you need to do, then do that. If the Holy Spirit is guiding you, but ask the Holy Spirit, I know what the rules are saying. I know what the guidance is saying, which is changing on a regular basis. I know what these leaders are saying. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to stand before God and you're going to have to answer for the decisions that you're making to him. You're not going to have to answer to any of these other people. And so I think there were so many people that compromised out of fear and pressure. And it's just like we tell children, you know, don't cave into peer pressure. Don't get pushed into a situation. Don't, you know, let fear dictate your response. And there were so many people that did the exact opposite because they were afraid that they were going to lose something if they didn't participate. And the reality is you may have to give up a lot in order to follow Jesus. But what I told my clients, hey, if you want to come in here, come in here. If you want to stay 6 feet away from me, stay 6 feet away from me. If you want to do Zoom meetings, if you want phone calls, we will do that. But I'm going to serve you how you want to be served. I'm going to love you no matter what. And the worst case scenario is we're either going to make it through this or Jesus is coming back soon. And if you're a follower of Christ, either way, we win. And they're like, you know what? You're right. But I never backed down. I wasn't rude. I wasn't ugly. You know, I respect your decision to do whatever it is you feel like you need to do. But don't try and dictate that decision for me. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to be who God's called us to be. And that hasn't let me down yet. And, you know, if it ever does, then that's probably still going to be on me, not on something that he's asking me to do. But I think that that is very important. And, you know, there are going to be more of those situations that come up. This was one scenario. There are going to be many more of those scenarios if we live long enough, because society's not backing down. They're ramping up the craziness that they're trying to get people to go along with. So you're going to have to choose. Who am I going to follow? Am I going to follow what the media or social media or, you know, whoever's in the White House or whoever's, you know, in charge of large, you know, global organizations? Or am I going to follow Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and do what he asked me to do? So I think it's very important.
No, you're so right. And the thing about the Word of God is people will try to say it's outdated, it's not progressive enough. It is as relevant as we know today as it was when it was written. And so it never fails us if we can, like you said, stay the course. And that's why we need community, the Heaven and Business community. I have a Kingdom Business Lunch I host, I shared with you, around Atlanta. We do it out on the east side once a month, and then out on the south side where I am, near Peachtree City, once a month. And we need community. We need to encourage and rally and strengthen each other more than ever and be able to talk about these scenarios. And like you said, I love the way you put it, that you told people you do what the Lord leads you to do, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if the Lord told you to take the shot, for example, or not, then that was the right choice. So I love that as we are learn to be more Spirit-led, as we learn to ask God in every decision, then there's so much more freedom. There's so much more courage, and it's just fun. I mean, I am having more fun, Matt. I don't know about you. Even in these strange times, and you know, I'm in the tech industry, and last week there were announcements of huge layoffs, and you know, I just say, okay, Lord, you know, not on my watch and not here. And so I didn't even bat an eye. You know, there was no fear, because it's like, man, when you really are Spirit led and you're listening to what the Spirit is saying for you and your business, your family, there's freedom, but there's fun. And yes. I don't know about you, I want to have more fun in these latter years than I've ever had in my life, because as you mature and as you grow in the Lord and you kind of get over yourself, which was what the Lord told me about 4 years ago. He said, just get over yourself and things will go so much better. And you know how when the Lord speaks to you, you're like, oh, that's great advice. So when you learn to just get over yourself and be led by the Spirit, man, the sky is the limit. And I've been getting amazing, innovative ideas for my business. I've been getting innovative ideas for new businesses, because this is such a season where the Lord is looking for people that can steward what he wants to bring forth. And he's looking for people. He can take companies out of the hands of corrupt people and put them in the hands of kingdom-minded people for such a time as this. So it has never been a better time to link arms and get synced up. There's a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipe.
Yes, I absolutely agree. Following Jesus should be fun. You know, it should be an adventure every day. You know, he should ask you to do things that make you very uncomfortable, because you're going to have to step out and trust him. But when you do that, you know, you should have amazing testimonies. You should have amazing new friendships. You should have just incredible things that you see him do, because, you know, it's not boring. It's not show up to church, check a box on Sunday, wear, you know, uncomfortable clothes and just smile and wave at people, and then talk about them when you leave the church service. Live your life for yourself until you go back and rinse, repeat, and do it the next week, and never see any evidence of his love or his power. You should walk in love, you should walk in power, and you should have exciting things that are happening, divine appointments, people that you couldn't have met, other than, oh my gosh, like the Lord just connected us. One example of that, we were talking about it earlier. So a couple of weeks ago, we were supposed to do this interview. The interview had to be rescheduled. You call me to let me know why that was rescheduled and say, hey, do you know Christy Childers? And I said, Christy Childers that lives in Hawaii? No, Christy Childers, she lives in San Francisco. Christy Childers that used to work for Facebook? Yes, she used to work for Facebook. How do you know Christy Childers? Well, I met her in Washington, but she was with me in Atlanta. Okay, well, I met Christy Childers on a trip to Brazil, and she witnessed a whole plane on the way back from Sao Paulo to Houston. So like, it's the same person in Atlanta that we both met in different places, because the Lord is an incredible connector. You cannot make this stuff up. And he knows everybody. He created everybody. So why wouldn't he want to connect everybody that are trying to hear his voice and obey? He's got better ideas than we do. And the moment that we realize, like, oh, I should probably seek his advice versus just trying to come up with stuff on my own, it's exciting.
It's extremely exciting. And that is a great story about how we both met this person. And she is such an example. She spoke at my Kingdom Business Lunch and shared some of the testimony while she was at Facebook and marketing about how she would pray and engage intercessors to pray over different scenarios, and they would not be logical at all. What God would say was not, you know, did not comply with the logic of what they were doing. But every time when they would listen to the Lord, and she would step out in faith that, okay, we've heard from the Lord, and even though this is completely illogical to how the inner workings of Facebook is or what makes the most sense, where to apply resources. And she just, you know, I won't take up our time, but the stories that she told are so inspiring, because heaven's logic is usually opposite of earth's logic. And so as business people, we often try to, like you said, come up with ideas on our own or apply logic. And I'm just in a season where I'm like, you know what? My logic is so, it's like a kindergartner compared to, you know, the PhD of the universe. So it has just, being around people that can say, look, this was my scenario at Facebook or Dropbox. She told a testimony of Dropbox, or even, you know, at my previous company's Icon Rico. I can sit here and tell you that it was so opposite of what we thought we should do, what seemed reasonable to do, and the outcome was far superior. So yeah, we could talk about that all day long, and I don't think people should ever get tired of hearing the testimony of God and being encouraged that when we step out, even though our knees will knock and it you might feel like you're going to look stupid, again, get over ourselves. Don't worry about how we look. Worry about his name and his name alone and his glory. And it always works out.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I just had this thought as you were speaking, you know, what if every kingdom agent fully engaged with the Holy Spirit in the corporation that they worked in? You know, there are Christians, there are followers of Jesus in every single, well, major corporations, absolutely. Now, smaller companies, you know, that just depends on how big they are. But major corporations, there are followers of Jesus in every single one of those corporations, I have no doubt, in this country. If they would start to intercede for their coworkers, if they would start to intercede for their clients, if they would start to intercede for their leadership, if they would start to intercede for, you know, kingdom ideas, and instead of watching the news or reading their company newsletter or, you know, getting the corporate emails of how we're going to pursue nonsense, and we're just going to continue to shift in the opposite direction of what the Lord would want. What if they started praying for the business and praying against some of these demonic strongholds that are coming against some of these places? I mean, imagine the shift that we would start to see take place. And so I just want to challenge all the people out there, listeners, if you work in a corporate environment And you say, well, these people, they work in smaller corporations, so it's easier for them because they've got more relationship capital or whatever that, you know, lie is. I just want to bind that lie and just speak life over you and to encourage you. You've got the same Holy Spirit inside of you that we have in us, that Jesus had in him, that the disciples had in them. It's the same Holy Spirit. There's no junior Holy Spirit. There's no less than Holy Spirit. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it can change your company just like it can change any of these situations that we're talking about. So I think that's extremely important that people recognize and how different corporate America could look if they just had one person that was doing that, let alone a group of people that came together and started a small group in their business, or you know, just got there early to start praying over the offices, or just praying throughout the day in the workspaces, things would shift very quickly.
That's exactly right. And you know, you may be the only person. I feel like someone's going to be listening here that feels like they're alone in their space or their environment. But you may be the only kingdom expression your colleagues ever see or hear. And one of the stories Christy Childers, again, our mutual friend, told was that she worked on a project for 6 months with a Muslim woman and never really talked about Jesus. And one day the Muslim woman said to her, "Do you know anybody who reads the Bible? I've been praying for 6 months for someone who reads the Bible."
Wow.
Is that convicting? And she said, "Here I was for 6 months." And this, you know, we both know Christy. She is a radical Jesus lover and very inspiring to me and anyone who hears her testimony. So we all can fall short, but we can be encouraged that we may be the only expression. So she helped bring that lady to Christ and testified there were thousands of people inside Facebook that were Christ followers and, you know, getting inner healing and deliverance. And so it's so possible. I feel like there is maybe hopefully more than one person, but there's one person that God's showing me right now in particular that feels like you're alone. And what can you say? What can you do? You are the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand and it's in you. So I just want to encourage, like you said, Matt, to just whatever that looks like. I mean, let be spirit led. We can't tell you, you got to testify or bring your Bible. You know, you be spirit led and do what God wants you to do in that environment. And a quick testimony, if you don't mind, I'm only one of three believers in my, we're a smaller company now. I'm with a firm in my industry, and I'm only one of three, and I'm the only one who really understands kingdom and, you know, the gifts of the Spirit. Let's just put it that way. Wonderful believers, but you know, just not as moving in the Spirit yet. I'm working on that. But one day I had a dream about another colleague, and this person had a heart attack and was laying in the floor of our office. And I knew the Lord was showing me to not just intercede for this person, but talk to him. It's a him. And so I said, "Hey, are you having some heart issues?" And he said, "I actually am. Why?" And I just said, "Well," and I was just bold and said, "The Lord gave me a dream and I've just been praying for you and just wanted to encourage you that that's not your portion." I didn't tell him he was laying in the floor, but just the Lord warned me in a dream. So I used wisdom and I didn't care if I freaked him out, to be honest, because I knew his life was at risk. And then, you know, never reacted like you said, never said, "Oh, gee, thanks." Or, you know, but when I went to lunch with him a couple weeks later, I noticed he was eating so healthy and completely different. So I just kind of smiled to myself like, "Okay, I got his attention, Lord." So I knew that his change in eating habits and my intercession was going to save his life. So, you know, I could have never said anything to him, but that's a seed the Lord wanted to plant. And I wanted him to know I cared enough about him to say, "I'm praying for you." So, you know, we never know what we're doing and what seed that's planting.
It's powerful. And I would highly encourage people, when the Lord gives you a dream, record it, write it down, and, you know, have either you pray into it or have somebody else that, you know, there are people that have the gift of dream interpretation and they have very strong anointing for that. I happen to be married to one, so that's helpful. And, you know, but you go to those people and you say, "Hey, this is what the Lord showed me," or "This is what took place in this dream. What are your thoughts on what this looks like?" And, you know, sometimes you need to get several interpretations, but the stronger the dream, You know, sometimes the more important that that message gets to you or to the person that's in the dream with you. So I do think that that is, that's fantastic that you shared the dream with the person because his life was at stake. So I think that that's extremely important. Hey, before we finish up, all right, so tell us about your trips to Africa. What do you do there and what does that look like?
Oh, that's my heart. Thank you for asking. So I've been working in Africa for 18 years with a ministry called Foundations International, and our whole mission is to disciple a nation by discipling its leaders. And so we've been raising up leaders who are either pastors or, they love God, but they haven't had the ability or resources to get trained in the kingdom. And then in the last 5 years, again, I have really, my assignment has been the cultural, releasing the cultural mandate on all of us to find our spheres, find our purpose, whether it's in the government and, you know, or in the religion mountain. If you know you're called to be a pastor, that's one thing. But one of the messages that's been on my heart for years is in the church, get paid and are truly called to be a pastor. So what are the other 97% doing? A lot of them are sitting on the sidelines waiting for their role in the church when they should be out in one of the cultural spheres releasing the kingdom. So I've been doing micro lending and business startups in Africa. And when I was just there last month, we were there on assignment from one of the mother boards in Zambia, over 7,000 churches, to really train their leaders in the ways of the kingdom. And a big part of that is training them in the fact that there is a cultural assignment. Genesis 2 told us our mandate, take dominion, multiply, is not just have kids and name the animals. As we know, that's really been dumbed down and watered down. And that's part of our problems that we're encountering. And now we've got to make up ground in advancing the kingdom. So it's just an honor for me to go to Africa where the people are hungry. They're beautiful. I love that continent, but I really want to see them fully advancing and Jesus getting his full reward for what he's doing there. And so I try to go twice a year, and I'm fortunate enough in my work life and that I can do both, and that they intersect more than they ever have. Even our company, the technology company, we buy technology equipment over in Africa and really engage in giving them some resources so they can get tech skills and monitor their businesses, et cetera. So we're having a blast. It's advancing. People over there are hungry. And there's been major revival in Africa, just like there has been, in the United States. But it's coming through the marketplace as well over there.
Wow, that's awesome. And 19 years, that is a lot of just tilling the ground. That's a lot of investment of time and money and resources. I can imagine the first time that you went, you had no idea how long you were going to be doing this. But that's amazing. And so I appreciate you doing that because it is, what American followers of Jesus need to understand is we have got it so good here in America. We have got so much opportunity here in America, and there are people all around the globe that don't have anything near what we've got here. Even the poorest of the poor in America are wealthy by the world standards. And so it is critical that we go and disciple people of all nations, because that was the Great Commission, not Great Suggestion. And so going to those places that the Lord places on your heart is extremely important. And Africa is a place that I would love to go and minister to as well, because the Lord has developed friendships with people in those countries here in America. And they've told me about, what it's like back in their homeland. And, but I don't think people realize how good we've got it here. And if they went to a place that lacks resources, there's a hunger, but it's literally a lack of resources and a lack of, the capabilities aren't as strong as here. It's a lack of willpower. It's a lack of discipline. It's a lack of appreciation. Somebody coming in, bringing kingdom and bringing in the ability for resources and ideas to flow. That's changing an atmosphere like you talked about. And so that's extremely important. And I know that that's, you know, it's God's heart is to raise people up and help them flourish where they are. So thank you for doing
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Well, no, it's an honor. It is completely my privilege. I feel like I learn more from them because to your point, I have to go, I call it my recalibration. I have to go there and see how people, you know, will walk 10 miles just to hear you speak. And then you speak for 3 or 4 hours and they say, wait, you're done? That's it? You know, tell me about this. Tell me about that. So they bless me so much. I learn so much. Their faith is so strong because they don't have doctors and insurance to fall back on. A lot of times when they're sick and dying, they only have the name of Jesus and the hope in his hand. And boy, does he show up for them. So it's an honor, and I want you to come because there are a lot of hungry business people and entrepreneurs that want someone like you to come give them skills, teach them, speak into their lives. And so it's really to see what God's doing in this nation and that one. But to your point, they're much hungrier there. They're much more open. They're much more willing to see God's hand than many Americans, but that's changing.
Yeah. Well, that sounds awesome. And it sounds like another adventure with Jesus. So yeah,
yes.
that'd be amazing. So we'll definitely coordinate that. So any parting thoughts or how can people find out more about you as they're listening?
So I'm a LinkedIn user, so feel free to find me on LinkedIn. My maiden name was Duncan, so I think I'm under Jennifer Duncan, like donuts, D-U-N-K-I-N Jackson. I'm a little stealth in some things I do, so you won't find a website outlining everything I do. But I'm happy if anybody wants to talk, wants to join us at the Kingdom Business Luncheon, which I'm going to have you speak in the next couple months when we coordinate. As we collaborate the operating system of the kingdom together, because it's unfolding in real time, and we're learning and we're growing and we're locking arms and shields. So, but yeah, please contact me on LinkedIn and love to talk and make more kingdom connections.
Excellent. Well, I definitely appreciate you being here today. And I appreciate all of you listeners. And so I know that this has fired up some of you. So get somebody else fired up and send this to a friend, encourage somebody else. And because we want this fire to spread, that's important. And you can follow us on Facebook, Living Life on Purpose, and then on Instagram, Living Life on Purpose. Always. We appreciate you so much, and we will be back in 2 weeks.